The following program is a JWC Media production for Game Show Newsnet and CLW83.com.
This is Gordon Pepper. This is Chico's Brain.
Hi.
This is Jason Block's Brain. What was that? This is Jason Block's Brain after the World Championship quizzing.
Yeah. Put it to you this. Yeah, it was terrible. It was bad. But you know,
I heard they really worked, you guys.
Yeah, but you want to know something? It was a lot of fun, and I would do it again. And you actually have some news to break, don't you, Gordon?
Well, I sort of do. Are we talking the Hot 100?
That sort of news, yes, sir.
I was accepted as a proctor for the Hot 100.
Yeah, good stuff.
So we're going to be starting that, starting at the end of June, and I will give out more details. I'm trying to set it up so that this is a chain of Hot 100s,
All right. And
it will be having points throughout the year, and then highest scorers will be able to compete against each other in the WQC, and whoever gets out of that will get a free trip to Vegas and Tacoma. So if you are in the New York, New Jersey area, and you wish to partake in such frivolity, I will be hopefully giving out more details in that within the coming weeks.
Yes, but we also have a ton of stuff to cover.
Yeah, and it's all hot. 10, 100, it is all hot. We got a lot of stuff to cover, including the first of the summer premieres. Spoiler alert, we only like one of them, and even that's being generous.
Well, you like one of them. I don't like any, because they were all a hot steaming pile.
Okay. All right, Mr. Hot Steaming Pile, from somewhere in America, WLTI Live is on. Hey everybody, my name is Chico Alexander. I've got Gordon Pepper to the left of me, and you've got Gordon Pepper to the right of you. Thanks for being a part of the world's strongest game show podcast. And we need a strength and conditioning coach. We have one. His name is Jason Block. Hey there, Jason.
I am doing great. I am right now watching my New York Rangers trying to salvage themselves as we record this tonight, but yuck.
That sounds painful when you're trying to salvage yourself.
Yes, it is. But unfortunately, we had someone who finally cooled herself off this past week.
Okay, let's talk about that, shall we? But first, let's start it proper.
This girl is on fire!
Okay, so Julia Collins, the girl on fire, the queen of Jeopardy Julia, whatever you want to call her, perhaps the greatest woman ever to play the game, she got beaten in her 21st match.
Oh, wow, you sound like a Heath Slater match.
I felt like I was watching a Heath Slater match through most of the Jeopardy editions. I mean, make no mistake about it, and of course I'm being hatery because I am. Julia Collins was a fantastic champion.
That's another podcast, Gordon.
That's another podcast. Julia Collins was an exceptional Jeopardy champion for the past 4 weeks.
And I'm sorry.
Well, actually, you have a theory and I have a theory. So, Chico, first give us your theory.
Okay, she was, as I said, she was beaten on her 21st match, and for all the reasons I've thought that she would be beaten on her 21st match, and I've got a list of them here on my big board. First of all, not as strong a front game as her opponents. Had a strong front game, but it's not just about being right, or it's not just about being fast, it's about both. You gotta do them both at the same time. I mean, you obviously have to be first on the buzzer, but you have to hope that your answer is right, right?
Chico?
Yes.
I have the magic word.
You have the magic word? What is the magic word?
The magic word is, the password is, fatigue.
Bing! Ding.
She was fatigued. She started to lose it between, I think, games 18, 19, and 20. She wasn't really the dominant player that she used to be at the very beginning of her run. I mean, she still won, but it wasn't convincingly, and she stopped having locked games. And, you know, again, give people proper credit. You play 20 to 21 Jeopardy games in a row, your brain is going to start to throb.
And as someone who actually played it, and I will give this as someone who did an example, 13 years ago this week, my Jeopardy episode aired. And if you remember, you're taping 5 shows at once. And I was listening to it, and you could actually hear my voice go out after game 4. Okay, and that's just game 4.
I believe you had a spell. You had a date with the fatigue monster,
I
too,
did.
Didn't you, Jay?
I did, because what happens is that you tape 3. First of all, remember, I'm also there the day before because I'm expecting to tape, because they were taping 10 shows in 2 days. I was there in the studio the full day beforehand, and I never was picked, and it bothered me and it upset me, honestly, because I thought I was going to get picked the day of, the first day. No. But what happens is that when you tape the second day, what happens is you tape 3 shows in the morning, you break for lunch, and you go right into the second tape day. So you're taping 5 shows in 1 day. So, I mean, and again, if you're answering a lot of questions, remember, you have 61 questions. You're answering a potential 305 questions in literally hours. And again, your voice gets tired, your brain gets tired, your reflexes get tired. And remember, I was in it in the era of just 5 days only. This is the time where she was doing it consecutively. I mean, I give her a lot of credit for going there, but again, you could see a fatigue factor going in there as well.
Yeah, and if I may say so, there's also the matter of taping shows back-to-back or airing shows back-to-back, because you didn't see it much on games 1 through 5 or 6 through 10, but 11 through 20, you start to see the strength and the power go, because again, you're answering, in those 2 days, 610 questions. That is you at WQC over the past weekend.
Well, yeah, I mean, and again, but remember, so, I mean, look, did she get tired? Yeah. Did she get careless? Yeah. And those were mistakes. She was never, again, did she back into a few of the wins? Of course she did, because a lot.
I know she backed into one of them.
At least a few of them, okay?
Well, you know, wait. I never agree with you backed into wins. If you were good enough to get that much of a lead where all you have to do is your opponent get the wrong answer, that's not backing in. That's you doing everything right, making one mistake, and getting away with it. But she was good enough to get that lead, and hence being able to control it. So I don't believe in the backing in. However, I'll agree with everything else that you said. I think fatigue played a factor. I think she got tired. I think she stopped strategizing and started almost, in a weird sort of way, marginalizing her wins. Because, again, she wasn't nearly as strong in the last 4 or 5 games than she was during the first set of her run. And that's what got her.
Okay, yeah. Again, another classic mistake. You let your opponents do the work for you. You have to do the work for yourself. You have to control the flow. You have to play your own game. You cannot let everybody else dictate how you're going to play your game.
Yeah.
She did that in Game 21. Now she's playing for her life in Final Jeopardy in Game 21. I have Final Jeopardy in Game 21. You want to hear it?
Yeah, exactly.
I would, yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay. The category is, and Jason, this should sound familiar. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me why. Oscar-winning writers.
I thought you were going to say Ezra.
Ha, ha, ha. No. The reason why, because this Final Jeopardy question was actually in my Double Jeopardy stack of game 4 of my run in 2001. So,
okay, let's see how much you remember of it. Winning for 1999, this New England writer is the last person to win an Oscar for adapting his own novel.
I'm in.
Okay, I got this one.
Okay, Jason, who have you got?
Who is John Irving for the Cider House Rules?
See, my coworker lambasted me for not getting this one. Anyway, Gordon, who do you have?
I thought this was easy. Who is Jessica Fletcher?
His
wrong answer, she wrote.
She's from Cabot Cove. It's New England.
Yeah.
She sounds like a teapot. And her middle name is L.
L McPherson?
No, just L. But Chico, you have also another theory about where Julia made her mistake.
Yeah, going into the final, she was behind. You want to leave yourself a little bit of room just in case somebody decides. This isn't a tournament game. This is more or less an exhibition game. You're already in the tournament. You're already cemented your legacy. This is just icing right now. You want to leave yourself some wiggle room so you can, you know, hope beyond hope that he gets it wrong and plays the right move. So you at least have something.
I understand what you're saying in terms of that, but on the other aspect, sometimes if you bet the whole thing, you are forcing your opponent to play the game the way that it's supposed to be played and not necessarily try to mamby-pamby or, as you say, backdoor to their way to the win. If you get the question right and if you do that and if you catch your opponent sleeping, you'll win the game. So I don't really have a problem with the way that she bet. She did force, if she got it right, she would have forced Brian to get his answer right. Now, to his credit, it wouldn't matter because Brian did get the question right and he answered more than enough to be a champion regardless of what Julia did.
Now, you also have a theory, Gordon, and it's about as equally as valid as mine, maybe even more so because, hey, this is Gordon Pepper we're talking about. So, your theory.
All my theories, in my state of play column earlier on last week, I was speaking about people and playing to win and not playing not to lose. It's not just about Final Jeopardy. And if you start playing the numbers game at Final Jeopardy, you're too late. It's about using the daily doubles. If you look at what she's doing, if you look the whole week at what people are doing with their daily doubles, they're not doing anything with their daily doubles. 2,000, 3,000, 1,000. If you want to be a champion on Jeopardy or any other game show, you need to play like one and you need to act like one. The best way to do that is to implement and utilize all the weapons that you have at your disposal. In this case, in a daily double, you can bet as much or up to all of your winnings. Bill McDonald, the great Bill McDonald, who happens to be a friend of the site, on more than one occasion bet the whole ball of wax on regular Jeopardy, happened to get the question right, and made Double Jeopardy academic because you had $18,000 worth of catching up to do.
Don't forget Roger Craig.
Roger Craig.
He went back to back. He had a double-double.
Well, absolutely. And if you look at it this way, someone like a David Madden in his $5 betting, fantastic. Someone like Arthur Chu, who did steal out of the David Madden playbook at least a couple of times to bet the $5 bet. That's how you play Jeopardy. If you don't know it, you bet small. If you do know it, you bet a chunk and try to put the game out of the way so that Final Jeopardy is academic and you don't have to care at
exactly.
that point.
And
Julia Collins didn't do that. She played not to lose, and by doing that, that's exactly what she did.
And in a way, the people, it goes to men and women's style of play, if you really want to go that way. Because I don't necessarily want to do that, but aggressiveness, we have seen a lot of women in more recent play more of an aggressive style, and that's good because there's more. You have to get more aggressive in Jeopardy. You have to. And the best Jeopardy players over the last maybe 10 years have done it. Ken Jennings, Roger Craig, Arthur Chu, Brad Rutter, all those people have just gone balls to the wall on the daily doubles and got it right and did what they need to do.
And if you want to talk about females, may I suggest Larissa Kelly?
Yes, Larissa Kelly, Stephanie Joss, other people like that, people like her, and them. Now, Chico, you had a question. How does she do in season 31?
I'm going to call this right now. Mark it down, send it, book it, do whatever you want to do with it.
Book him, Dano.
Arthur Chu, Sandy Baker, Julia Collins, $250,000. Mark it. Bold prediction.
Depending on how they play and where they're seated, I can certainly agree
that's
with that.
Put it to you this way. People are going to root for Julia against Arthur. You know that. But
not
except for
me.
Gordon. Thank you.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
All right. So Julia becomes a social media darling. So does The Price is Right this week.
This past week, you want to know something? I got to tell you. And again, in the Mike Richards era, you know, there was a show this week which was this split screen show.
Yes, it was the second screen show. I said it was the next best thing to getting the Priceless Experience tour when you're out in Southern California and you don't even have to give up your eligibility to see it.
It was great. It was fantastic. One of the best shows.
It was really well done, yeah.
You know, one of the things that I like about Mike Richards and what he's done, and again, I bring these people up. I bring up people like Mike Richards and Amy Intercaso Davis because you guys always seem to bash them when they do a terrible job on something and you know, very well-deserved at some points. But when they do a really good thing, you guys sort of seem to ignore that. So I'm just going to remind you that these are the same people that you bash. In this case, Mike Richards had an excellent idea to include social media into it. He probably got it from himself when Let's Make a Deal did the exact same thing, Mike Richards, of course, being the producer of both of those shows. So for The Price is Right, I thought it was a fantastic idea of what they did. And I would love to see them be more interactive with their audience. I think that could be a lot of fun.
Indeed. They have the platforms to do it. You saw it this week. You saw YouTube. You saw Facebook. You saw Twitter. You saw Instagram. You have the platforms. You're going to use them. And it would not shock me if they decide to do this again next
season. I'd love to see them do it. And again, the second screen experience to me was the highlight because it's just like, for me, because I loved all the backstage stuff. And what was great about the second screen was you got interviews with the contestants and what they were feeling in the moment. And I just loved how it was great.
It was raw. It was real. It was unadulterated funk, basically.
And also, you know, Gordon, this is something that we have seen because we've both worked together both in front and behind the camera. So this is great stuff. This was really good stuff, you know?
It is. It shows signs of creativity and cleverness. It's one of the reasons why both shows are two of the highest rated shows currently on daytime television.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yep.
So that's something awesome involving online video. Here's something else that involves online video. Let's go back to 1997,
okay,
shall we? A 19-year-old DJ from Georgia is plucked from obscurity by none other than Merv Griffin to host a computer-oriented quiz show. You remember that?
Yeah, that was called Click, if I'm not mistaken.
And do you remember who the DJ was?
Ryan Seacrest, if I remember right.
What would result is the beginning of a multimedia empire, the same multimedia empire that gave rise to Nickelodeon's newest quiz show, Webheads.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Webheads is played with four players and four rounds. The first one, buffering, which is basically what happens next.
Right.
And the three players who survive that round go to the next round, which is more or less Hitman. You watch a video, you answer two questions about it. It's called Memory Overload.
Right.
And the players who survive that round go into Moment of Impact, where you have to time your buzzer correctly in order to win. Kind of a cheapo thing to do, but oh
right.
Well. And the player who wins the game goes on to the spinning wheel of death to play trending now, where they take four videos from the day, the audience votes on which ones they like the most, and you have to put them in order while dodging sweeper bars and a giant door. Basically, race game meets Wipeout.
Yep. Look, the show isn't bad, okay? Because
it is not a bad show. It's an innocent enough show. It's basically G-rated ridiculousness, only we're keeping score, and there's a guy from Big Time Rush.
Right. I do have a lot of problems with the show. I really do. Because remember, Gordon, we were coming off a couple of great runs with Brain Surge and Figure It Out. Okay. And this is a little bit of a downturn to me because, number one, even though Carlos Pena-Vega is a first-timer, he's trying even way too hard. He's really trying hard. I don't like the fact that some of the, you know, they're relying on the crotch shot, you know, that sort of thing. Yes, it's a video. Yes, you know, America's Funniest Home Videos have been doing it for 25 years. You know, that's just a minor nitpick with me. I just think the show tries too hard and doesn't feel organic to me. Let me
give you a little bit about my opinion. First of all, the concept is sound in terms of what the show is. There's definitely elements of Brain Surge in there. There's elements from shows that have this concept before that's worked. So obviously, from a Nickelodeon standpoint, it's going to work here. So that's what I like about it. It works because we've seen it before. That's also what I don't like about it, because we've seen every single thing before. There's nothing new in the house in terms of a game show. I agree that Carlos tries way too hard. I completely agree with that. I don't think he's bad, but I think he's too high energy for the room, and he needs a little bit of NyQuil. But that, for me, wasn't the worst part of the show. Here's the worst part of the show for me. What network is this on?
Nickelodeon.
What is Nickelodeon supposed to be doing with their game shows?
Making them kid-friendly, family-accessible.
Yes. There wasn't much of that here on these videos.
No. There was a lot of crotch shots. There was a lot of, you know, falling down. It, like you said, it's a G-rated ridiculousness, but it almost goes to PG, doesn't it, Gordon?
I would think it goes, you know, again with the crotch shots and with the adult situations, I would definitely say PG.
And it's,
I would definitely not go G on this. I would definitely go PG.
And that's not what the audience is. It's you know, I mean, put it to you this way: where are the SpongeBob clips, for example? You know what
right.
I'm saying? You know, or maybe, you know, show a clip from like Sam and Cat. You know what I'm talking about?
Which is on right after the show.
Right, but in other words, if you use the show to tie in Nickelodeon shows with video clips, for example.
Or at least make the show educational. I mean, do something with it besides something that I would see on ESPN Junior.
Right.
So this is basically not a Make Your Child Smart
no.
show. This is a brain candy, basically. It's half an hour of brain candy.
And the thing is that, and honestly, that's bad considering Brain Surge was one of the best shows last year because it made your kids smarter. It really did.
Right.
So, I mean, for me, this is just, I mean, honestly, this is just average and C. I wouldn't let my kids watch this if I had kids. C.
Nickelodeon, you tried. There's nothing wrong with trying. In the words of Bo Dallas, someday eventually you'll understand and realize what greatness is, but not now. I'll be a little bit kinder than Jason Block, but just barely, C+.
I'm going to be a little bit kinder still. I know in the text I gave it a B, but after having watched more and more episodes, I have to downgrade my grade a little bit, so I'm giving it a B-. It's harmless enough.
That's really kind of you.
Yes, hi. You know, well, what can I say? I have a good heart. Oh, and we should probably bring this up since, well, somebody has to. The stunts depicted on Webheads are extremely dangerous and should not be imitated anywhere by anyone at any time. Nickelodeon and the producers insist that you do not send video of yourself or others performing dangerous acts. They will not open or view them. Disclaimer.
Is that a disclaimer that's on the show for real?
No, I borrowed it from MTV, but it still holds
true. Yeah, it does.
And then, it could be worse.
Yeah.
Here comes the worst.
It takes a church.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. See what I did there, kids?
Yeah, I see this. And by the way, before we go into anything, we are not knocking any religion or anything having to do with this. That being said, the concept blows. Okay.
Imagine what would happen if you took an entire season of The Bachelorette and condensed it into an episode and replaced stuff like hot tub dates and fantasy dates with stuff like bowling and couples therapy with your pastor. That's not awkward. So, and instead of getting just the date, imagine it being with a church with your parishioners playing matchmaker for $10,000 donated in their name to the church.
So you're not playing for anything.
Of course you're not playing for anything. Just your name on a check that GSN's gonna write.
Wow. Okay.
Now this, you know, if they played it straight up, we wouldn't have much of a problem with it. But it's like, oh, God. No, that's exactly what it's like. It's like, oh, God. Let's take a bad premise and cater it to the American Bible Challenge audience, who are going to stick around after the American Bible Challenge because it fits the demographic.
Well, let's put it this way. I actually liked the premise of the show. I thought the idea of getting someone from church to play matchmaker was a really cool idea, and I liked what station was on because I think that that could give each person slash entity could give each other, you know, the carryover from American Bible Challenge. But the problem is, and it's on these shows, it's a great big problem. It doesn't matter how good of a show you have, how good of a lead-in you have if your content sucks. Yeah. And that is what happened because it felt more stilted in stage than a middle school musical.
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, with religion has to be organic here. With the American Bible Challenge, these people are fun. They're fun. They're, you know, with this, you feel round peg, square hole. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. And at least with the American Bible Challenge, it's secular accessible.
Yes. Yeah. I would think so. The problem is that you don't have a love guidance counselor there for the It Takes a Church show, which you really need, and a therapist. And maybe after when the therapist has done it with that, they can go over to the cast and go, how in the world are you still playing?
Yeah, instead, they don't have a therapist. What they do have is the money and advertising dollars of, well, should we mention the site or no?
No.
It's a prominent dating service, faith-based dating service.
Yeah, I know what that faith-based service is, and we're not going to give them the free advertising because they didn't pay us.
No.
Sorry. But again, you know what it felt like is what it felt like to me? An advertisement for it instead of a game show.
Yeah, a 60-minute advertisement for
that site.
Yeah.
Okay. And when it feels that way, you know you're not going to have fun watching this.
Yeah. I didn't have fun watching it. Did you have fun watching it, Gordon?
I had fun when it was over.
Oh, he had fun when it was over. In fact, I believe there's a special place in hell for people who enjoy this sort of thing. The show is absolutely good for absolutely no one. F.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's F for faith fail. F.
I'll say real fail, and I will take it one step further. I'm going to say F you.
Oh, boy. Wow. And
whoa.
Yeah. Okay.
There are children listening to this podcast, Gordon.
Well, okay. Well,
unfortunately, some of them may be on a certain MTV show called Copycat.
Oh, God!
Oh, God!
Okay, let me just tell you something. I had at least some fun with, you know, It Takes a Church. This was the most painful thing I have watched on TV in a long, long, long time. This...
For those who wish to get their brains bleached, here's how it works. It works this way. You have two people trying to copy and imitate a singer and a song. And so they will duel against each other. You have the audience and judges scoring and deciding who wins their duel. The two singers with the highest scores will duel against each other using a different song. The whoever wins gets their prize and puts me out of my misery.
$5,000. Don't spend it all in one place.
That would put me out of my misery.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I had to watch an hour of this.
Yeah, I'll try covering it.
Well, here is the... There is nothing redeeming about this show, by the way.
Absolutely
zero.
Nothing. The talent sucks.
No. The talent does not just suck. They suck and blow, okay?
They suck and blow. And then there's the matter of the host, Jonathan Bennett, who came from the movie Mean Girls, one of the funniest movies of my generation. Hi,
what
I'm
happened?
Jonathan Bennett. Look, I look like Superman. Look how many teeth I have.
And you want to know something? It's just like they didn't even advertise. They didn't even explain about, hey, we have special phones in the, they didn't even explain the scoring system.
No, they didn't. I am left to surmise that each person is given either a special phone with a special app or directions on how to download that app, and they're going to give everybody a ranking from 1 to 10. Sort of like Are You Hot, except Do You Sound Like insert artist here.
Okay, by the way, I will say this point blank. This is the worst game show of the year by far to me. This is horrible. And excuse me, I'm going to say this, Gordon, and excuse me here. Mike Fleiss, F you. That's my grade. Sorry. It's terrible. Ugh. It is, there is no, and look, MTV wasted, what is there going to be, 40 episodes of this?
40 episodes of this.
40 episodes of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, for me, it's not just FU, it's FU2.
I'm not going to be that vulgar, but I'm going to say...
Oh, come on!
You know what? The contestants are annoying, the host is fake, the premise sucks, the talent isn't there. FU to infinity, FU.
Woohoo!
There you have... Oh, and by the way, our resident dancing expert and spiritual guide... Pierre Kelly, hi Pierre, also gives it an F.
So this is epic fail number 2. Can we make it a triple?
I think we can make it a triple. Can you make it a triple?
Yes, we can. What's the name of this show we're talking about here?
Sing Your Face Off.
Okay.
We have a group of celebrities. They're copycatting your favorite artist, but instead of the audience deciding who it is, we have a panel of judges. We have Debbie Gibson. Is it still Debbie or is it Deborah?
Who cares? Nah.
Oh, who cares? We have Who Cares Gibson. We have Daryl Hammond. And
but she
a
cared about the paycheck when she decided to go on the show. That's what she
so
cared
did
about.
John Barrowman, who is actually passable as the host because he has the experience to it. That's where the good ends. The bad, everything else. It's not as bad as But Can They Sing, which isn't saying much. But anyway...
The show's a mess. The show's just terrible.
There's a reason why ABC is doubling up, because they want to get the hurt out as much as possible.
And John, John, I know exactly what John Barryman is thinking. The check better clear before I'm on Arrow. The check better clear before I'm on Arrow. Right, Gordon?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, because you know what it is? I mean, look, John Barrowman deserves a hell of a lot better than this because he's a great talent. No joke. He can sing, he can dance, he can act. Okay, he really legitimately can. For those who have seen him on British TV and who have seen him on other shows in the, you know, on in the U.S.
Yeah, he was on Arrow. He was on Doctor Who. He was on Torchwood. Actually, an early Darren Star entry, Central Park
yes,
West.
He was.
If you remember,
yep.
CBS that far back.
Uh-huh.
And he actually has a new show in the UK called Pressure Pad.
Right.
He's really good on that.
Exactly. So
he's not so good on
no,
this.
No, he's not. And the thing is that it's just like, and again, it all, and again, the charity, the celebrities are playing for charity, right? So
yeah.
Again, it's just, this just smells of the summer of suck. And this is another F for me. It's terrible.
F me senseless.
Oh baby! No, I'm not gonna be that creepy or there, but I'll just go with F U
three. Yeah.
Okay. Once, twice, three times the loser.
Yeah, and you know what? And again, there are gonna be a lot better summer shows than this. These just weren't one of them. Wow. I mean, I don't think we've had a triple F ever. I don't think we.
We should be so lucky. Oh, my God.
Yes, but, oh, God.
But we do have some good shows that happens to premiere this week. Isn't that right? It's time for Haterade's Got Talent.
Yay!
And here to hate on the talent and to love on the talent is Gordon.
Hi. In terms of America's Got Talent, I have not seen the Million Dollar Act yet.
Oh.
However, I've seen a lot of very good acts.
Who's your favorite so far?
There's two ways to define that. My favorite isn't the person that I would like to see go very, very far, or the person that I think has the best chance of winning.
What the hell? Let's go with both.
Alright. So, let's see. So, in terms of who I would like to see win, well, you had this woman that was suffering some social anxiety disorder that happened earlier on this week, and I know that Jason and Chico were both talking about how Harry Mandel did a yeoman's job in terms of helping her.
No, I believe that was Lee and... Lee and our AGT expert, Lita George, and Chico did that. But tell us about that, Chico.
Give me a second while I access Lita George's Facebook wall. But yeah, go ahead, Jordan.
One.
All right, so in terms of who I think is going to win, it could be her. She's got all the characteristics. She's got a great voice. She has a great backstory. However, who votes?
America votes.
Well, who exactly does America vote for?
They vote for singers.
They vote
unless
for Southern country singers.
Unless you're Kenichi Abino.
Or the Dogs.
Yes, well, I'm not either of those, and I'm really hoping that you're not either of those.
But, ooh, wait a minute. I see some new buttons in front of you, Gordon.
Oh yes.
We
have one shiny new button. It is the golden button. It's the golden buzzer, they call it, and it's straight from the UK version, which started using it either last year or this. But the purpose is twofold. One judge, or each judge, is allowed one hit at the golden buzzer. And that golden buzzer hit is twofold. First of all, it saves an act that would otherwise not be going, that would not advance.
Right.
Judges' opinions be damned.
Right.
And the second thing is, it advances them to live shows.
Yeah, and you know what? I saw it on British Got Talent with these boys who did a bullying rap, And
yeah, I saw that video too. That
and,
was
and,
awesome.
Simon was the one who hit that, the golden buzzer. Excuse me, I like the golden buzzer because it's a one-time thing. It's a one-time thing, and you have to use it right, unless, you know, of course, people can be manipulated into using it, but so far, I like that idea, the golden buzzer.
It's a really good idea. I know Howard was already manipulated in using his golden buzzer hit. Use it on an act called Dustin's Dojo, which is basically a karate demonstration played for laughs.
Oh, what was the name of the one? Oh, Horse. Horse, who did crotch shots for fun.
Yeah. He ended up getting crotch shots for real on the Ninja Warrior course. But that's neither here nor there.
Oh, Gordian, I see this button, this big red button in front of you.
Does it say Media Ho on it by any chance?
It says MH. It says MH for Media Ho.
Well, let's put it this way. You know, I only spoke about one singer on America's Got Talent. The one that I think America is really going to stand behind is another young singer, this one by the name of Jacob Curley.
Okay.
Talk to us about Jacob Curley.
Yeah, so. But I think you need to hit your button there, G.
Yes. So I most certainly do, because there is someone else that was on America's Got Talent that you may have seen before. Do you know who Dan Natterman is?
I know who Dan Natterman is. He was on Last Comic Standing, wasn't he?
He was, and now he's on America's Got Talent, claiming that he really doesn't want to go on Last Comic Standing this year. And
then why did he go on Last Comic Standing 5 years ago?
Because he wanted the money.
Yeah, at least I will say this, at least Last Comic Standing is being honest about their, you know, pros only stance. I'm okay with this, you know.
Yes. I am too, actually, because again, as you said, they're being honest and they're being open about it.
Yeah, because if you're going to do it that way, I have no issue. Being subversive about it, that's a no-no. So.
Yeah. Yeah, if you were going to be subversive about it, you were going to lose the audience, and you were going to lose it quickly. By being honest, they gained an audience, and they're joining America's Got Talent and Ninja Warrior up in that NBC pantheon of summer.
In other words, the ratings are doing well for Last Comic Standing?
Oh,
good,
definitely.
Good, you know.
And Hollywood Game Night. Can't forget Hollywood Game Night.
Well, they're doing okay. They're certainly doing good enough. To be doing pretty good, but is it good enough for everybody to be surfing Clay City?
Oh, no. let's actually go positive, because we're just, you know, we're right now, as we tape this, we're down to the final week of shows for season 31 of Wheel. And we actually had a $1 million moment divided by 10. Okay. Molly Kyle last Wednesday got a bonus puzzle of D blank G, next word, blank 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 L, okay? And she nails Dog Ball, and she won the $100,000, believe it or not, for the first time this season, which is pretty rare that we went through 180
some odd episodes
before you even got to a shot on this. Okay, and she nailed it, and she won, let me get the exact amount of money she won, but I believe she won like 100,000+.
I want to say it was in the neighborhood of
$118,949, because she also won a trip to Costa Rica, she got the camera, and she got, well, she won $18,949 cash and prizes and won $100,000. Her name is Molly Kyle. She's an elementary school librarian out of Amarillo, Texas. But you have something else for her, don't you, Chico?
Yes, I do. I have an MVP, not just being $100,000 winner on Wheel, but you know how we feel about our teachers and our public school employees.
Yeah. Oh, boy. But,
But on the other hand, this is a toss-up.
Yeah.
A toss-up. I'm not going to say the name of the player, because I don't know who it is. But I will ask Carl to please play this clip, courtesy Sony Pictures.
See it. Serve, Clay. Where we go? Plaza.
Serve City. Here we come.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, Chico.
Yes, Gordon.
I believe that some people are foolishly saying that this may be the dumbest guess ever in the history and pantheon of Wheel of Fortune.
It's up there, but no.
It's up there, but it's not. A few things come to mind, don't they? And you've got a whole list of them. Holy cow, that's a big list.
Yeah, you have three.
That's a big list.
Okay. Wow! Self potato?
I would like to start with self potato.
You're a self potato.
No, you're a self potato.
What was the actual puzzle that it was supposed to be?
It was supposed to be self portrait.
Oh.
And the P and both T's are out, and apparently people don't know how to spell because it was self potato.
These are our champions. He's one of a kind.
He's a self potato. Yes. Oh, and this one has been shown many times.
Yes, we have a group of pill pushers.
Instead of a group of well wishers, if I remember correctly.
Yes, you remember correctly.
Well, pill pushers and well wishers could be the same people, right?
They could be, sure.
But
and
none of them
finally,
yeah.
I've got some miners and hoes.
What? Which was supposed to be?
It was supposed to be fingers and toes. But instead, it's miners and hoes who have their own fingers and toes.
Oh God. Oh, okay. I'm gonna switch over to another topic. I actually have one to add here. You remember that one time you had three contestants that could not say Regis Philbin and Kelly Ripa?
Oh, that was very, very entertaining, yes.
Oh, yeah, that made for great talent. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to us, do yourself a favor. As soon as you're done turning us off, go to the YouTubes, look up Wheel, Regis, and Kelly. I'm just saying. Anyway.
There's many worse things that are out there more than Clay City.
Yeah. But there are all really far worse things than, you know, Wheel of Fail. Or as we like to call it, Wheel of Stupid People. Thanks, Julie.
I knew you were going to use her line for that, but you know what? You want to get...
We've had a lot of fun on this show. We always have a lot of fun on this show. It's time to be some serious. Let's spread some love to some people who are in dire need of it, and in more ways than the obvious. This last Monday, was the episode of The Bachelorette, which featured the walkout of Eric Hill. After the story goes, Eric Hill pretty much accused Andy Dorfman of playing to the cameras. And as a result, they had a big blow up, a big argument. He walked out on the series. Unfortunately for Andy, and unfortunately for Eric, it would be the last time they would see each other. As Eric, as you know, he perished in a paragliding accident before the season aired. And we have a bit of the postscript that aired in lieu of the Rose Ceremony. And this is courtesy Next Entertainment and Warner Horizon Television and ABC. Carl, if you would, please.
We all just watched Eric Hill's last scene on this show. Shortly after he left, Eric was tragically killed in a paragliding accident back home in Utah. Now, normally right now, we'd all be watching the Rose Ceremony. But that just didn't seem right tonight. It just didn't seem important who did or didn't get a rose. What does seem right is to talk about Eric. And so that's what we're going to do tonight.
They said it did not seem right in light of everything that happened to Eric Hill over the past month or so. And in retrospect, it was not just the right thing to do or the proper thing to do. It was the only thing they could do.
I mean, they were in a tough spot. They were really in a tough spot. I mean, we have said before that this, you know, this season shouldn't have aired. We've said this on multiple occasions.
In an ideal world, this season would not have aired.
However, you know, they did this in a better way than, you know, than we thought they were going to do it, to be honest.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you don't know where they're going to go. There's lots of ways that they could have gone with it, most of them really, really bad. But, you know, they took the tasteful way, which is very rare for The Bachelor or The Bachelorette or any series of that sort to go. I thought they took the only road that they could. I thought they did a very tasteful job of it. I didn't have a problem with it.
I didn't have much of a problem with it either, especially, you know, you listen to, you actually have to sit through the episode and watch it, but it's easy to villainize him after the circumstances in which he left.
Oh, sure. It is, but again, I'll give credit to the editing crew who really did a good job in terms of separating the difference between story time and reality. And on a slight personal opinion, I also happen to think that Eric may have been onto something, hence the whole deal. And I actually thought he came out looking pretty good.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, best case scenario, this is a hell of a grow up exercise for everyone involved. I'm hoping Andy takes, you know, from this, I thought I was ready for this. I clearly am not. I think I need to go back to Georgia and rethink my life.
I hope so. But remember, this is The Bachelor and The Bachelorette we're talking about here. You know, it's a tough deal because, you know, you're looking at people who really don't have this. The word is filter, I think, is the best word. And they just don't have it, you know? Don't know.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that, unfortunately. But, yeah. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, learning. And hopefully a lot of people will take out a lot of good from what happened in terms of the airings and see what happened.
Yeah. And, of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't offer our thoughts and prayers to not just the family and friends of Eric Hill, but everybody involved with this production.
All right.
Because they went through a loss. They went through a really big loss. And on that, I think it's time for our break. So when we come back, we've got more summer stuff. More rest of the summer toilet wine, we like to say. But first, if you're a fan of the daytime Emmys,
oh boy,
you better call your friends, call your mom, call your friends' mom, and tell them to listen up to what we gotta say in Brain Vision. This is with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block. I'm Chico Alexander, and you're listening to WLTI Live on CLW83.com. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 people who probably sound much better singing underwater than they do in any game show done by either MTV or ABC.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back in a minute here on CLW83.
How
many websites do you use to get your daily dose of wrestling news and views? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net. Franklin Daniel and his staff bring you the most comprehensive wrestling headlines all day, every day. Plus, WrestleChat brings you informative and entertaining podcasts like the Still Real to Us Show, the Bauer Show Podcast, and the North American Wrestling Connection each and every week. For up-to-date wrestling news and insightful wrestling views, there's only one site to turn to, and that's WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source.
Punk does clean up nice, but it still amuses, just, it is an amusing image of him that he would show up at his wedding, that AJ would actually skip down the aisle, she wouldn't be given away. Punk would be waiting for her with the tuxedo t-shirt with the sleeves ripped off, hair slicked back, brand new lip ring, probably brand new tats, but he's got to wear a shirt to the wedding.
And the GM computer.
And Colt Cabana up there doing the Princess Bride. Marriage! Marriage.
Oh my god! Dead!
I had defeated Jason Block. Somebody
else. Wow, Malwedge.
With this lip ring, Ivy Wedge.
Ivy Wedge, yes.
Yes. Yes.
So this is what it must have felt like to beat Jason Block on that fifth day of Jeopardy.
Well, we'll talk about Jeopardy later. Oh, but it is also funny that CM Punk actually broke Twitter silence this week. Did you know that?
Yeah, but he didn't say nothing about wrestling.
No, he was talking about hockey.
Which is his other favorite subject besides AJ.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, God.
The North American Wrestling Connection. New episodes every weekend on CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net.
Unlike my cohorts here, I brought gifts.
Oh, God.
Yes. I have every running gag in BS Big Show history rolled into one big mess for us. Tim Tebow and Andy Reid holding TC and Benoodles while riding Pinkie Pie, who suffered from those three letters everybody hates, A-C-L! And what's that protruding from Pinkie Pie's dumper? Of course it's the 200th episode commemorative Turkey Baster!
Oh, shit! Wow!
Wow!
Ladies and gentlemen, you can't write this shit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Because you forgot half a douche. That's what you forgot.
The BS Big Show, only on CLWA3.
Away from your computer? That's no problem. Take CLW83 Podcast with you wherever you go with the TuneIn Radio app. Download the free TuneIn app from the App Store or Google Play. Then search for CLW83 to connect to the latest editions of the NAWC, Touch 'Em All, the BS Big Show, and all of your other favorite CLW83 programs. CLW83, online, on demand, and on the go with the TuneIn app for Apple and Android devices. Download it today.
By Surf Clay. It's the only clay that floats on water. It won't win you the big money, but it will score you points with the lady.
No.
But.
No.
You may get booted out of Clay City.
Oh, God. We could go so many places, but we won't. Welcome back to WLTI Live on CLW83.com. Gordon Pepper, Jason Block,
Hi.
The producer, recordist, panelist, and strength and conditioning coach of the World's Strongest Game Show podcast.
Yep.
And now it's time. We teased it at part one. Now it's time we actually have to tell the people what's going on. So, Gordon, if you would, please.
I would. It's time for some Brain Vision. Roll that beautiful brain footage.
Live, local, late breaking. From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. Again, WXRR, if you're in southern Mississippi, listen to him on Rock Tracks Sunday afternoons, if I remember correctly. WXRR 104.5 on your FM dial. Okay. We're going to get it started with a really big news item, and I need a really big news bat, preferably one with a Wi-Fi connection.
Oh, boy. Yeah, oh, good grief. Gordon, do you see that one in the corner that's heavy, metallic, and shiny?
It's very shiny. That's why I gave it to you. You like to give Chico shiny things.
You know what? Let me handle this. Ugh. Sun's out, guns out, people. Okay, so here's the thing. The last 40 years, the Daytime Emmys have been broadcast on TV, whether it was ABC or CBS or, God forbid, HLN that year. You cannot unlisten to Robin Mead, I'm afraid. Not this year. They will be broadcast, much like their soap opera forebearers, online at daytimeemmys.net. This is not good. It's basically the soap opera genre is going down, and it's taking the talkers, the quarters, and us with them.
This is terrible. This is disgusting. I mean, look. I understand that the soap operas are pretty much Young and Restless, Days of Our Lives, Bold and the Beautiful, General Hospital. There's four, right?
There are
four on TV, okay? Mm-hmm. I understand that. But what this does, it honestly makes all the game show Emmys, you know...
Redundant.
Not redundant, it's not worth anything, okay?
Yeah, there are so many game shows you have on the air. I mean, this is the first time in a while where we had six nominees.
I think it also short shrifts all the talk shows, you know, the children's television shows. It short shrifts everything else.
It's basically saying, soap operas are a dying breed, and to fun with the rest of you. Never mind that they are just as legitimate, if not more so. I'm not saying this because I'm a big game show fan, but this is cause for celebration. This deserves more of a hoopla than it's getting. This deserves a better fate than it's getting.
Shame on you, Emmy Committee, for doing this. Shame on you. Sure.
And shame on the networks for not taking a chance on this.
I mean, do you agree, Gordon? Gordon?
Nope.
Yeah. Gordon. Yeah, okay. No, I'm just asking. Do you agree that this is sort of, you know, shame on the Emmy Committee for letting it go and shame on the network?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think that the Daytime Emmy Committee, I don't think has a realistic idea of what they're worth. And at the same time, I also... I don't think that television is doing the right thing in terms of saluting, you know, their own. You know, I understand 5.9 is not a very good Tuesday night ratings for anything, you know, shows included. But this is the Daytime Emmys that we're talking about here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I really think that they should be finding a home. I don't like the fact that it's going to be online, even though I obviously will get the download link and I'll look at it. But at the same time, it's like, really?
Yeah.
And especially because, look, you remember, I mean, you remember when Susan Lucci won on finally after God knows how many years on CBS. This was at the theater at Madison Square Garden in New York on
right.
CBS here. We're talking about here. And now this show is relegated to a online stream? Really? It burns. This is disgusting. I mean, I've said it multiple times, but this bothers me a lot. It really does. Anyway.
Will a date book make you feel as
bothered? Yeah, what do we got?
Okay. This week, no more new shows. We do have more America's Got Talent, and we have performance shows. We have a season finale of Wheel of Fortune, a special guest on The Price is Right, and amazing, by every sense of the word, racer slash star dancer by the name of Amy Purdy.
Yes.
Who?
The one who I bet on to win the Dancing with the Stars, and she came in second.
Okay, Gordon, shall we?
Sushi
dinner.
Sushi dinner.
Okay. And yes, in a couple of weeks, we'll be paying up. But yes.
I'm going to New York just so I can watch Jason honor his end of the bet. But anyway.
Yes. A la cuisine. All right. So here we go. Oh, Gordon.
So something else that isn't as smart.
Oh, no.
Well, besides Jason betting on her to win Dancing with the Stars, are you smarter than Justin Bieber, who decides to make racist remarks and then say that he's been forgiven because he was then baptized in a bathtub? We are not making this up.
Oh, boy. Look. Okay, look. Justin, you were young. You're stupid. You're a racist. Go away.
No, he's going to sue the NBA for $1 billion.
No! No.
Justin Sterling.
Yes, the Justin Sterling Show, yes.
By the way, I would like to tell America that this is your fault for giving money to this monstrosity.
Yeah.
Can't we just listen to the Jackson 5 instead?
Yeah, it is. I mean, look. Justin's still going to be making records, unfortunately, and the fact that Usher defended him just really bothers me, too, because it's hypocritical, but we won't go into that.
I got one more.
Oh, do you?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Are you smarter than Jason Block?
Oh, God!
Okay.
I will let you tell Chico your silliness.
Yeah. Are you smarter than me, who thought that Thomas Jefferson was the first vice president of the United States?
Jason!
Yes.
Jason!
Yes, I know. I should...
No!
I know. Bad Jason, no home.
You big sucker!
Yes, it did not cost me the $50 at the World Cruising Championships, but it made me feel like an ass. Okay?
Well, let's put it this way. I had a very unhappy Chico texting me going,
I'm drunk on 9 beers and I know that.
Yeah, okay, look. You know what I'm drunk on? Some Haterade. And you know what? We need some.
Yep.
Oh, I would love to give you some Haterade. Let's see. What do we start with? We're going to start with Casper Smart.
Not.
Because he was caught cheating on J-Lo, and so therefore this relationship is over.
Oh, boy. Okay.
What?
You want to cheat on that?
Mark Anthony cheated on that. Are you kidding me?
I don't even know what Mark
Anthony cheated on both a Miss Universe and Jennifer Lopez. Think about that for a second.
Okay, I thought about it. Done thinking. Who's up for a zombie, by the way?
Hi, Augustus.
Brains.
Eh?
Brains. See?
Top Chef Canada has packed his knives and gone.
Maybe Chop Canada can do the same thing and Dean McDermott can go back to marriage counseling with Tori Spelling.
I think you just made a promo there, yeah. Jason.
But you know what? After, just really feeling my oats, I need to go somewhere.
Okay. All right. We're talking about zombies. Yeah. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. It's in England. It's in a shopping mall. Overrun with zombies.
It's a ton.
What's
the BBC has ordered 7 hours of I Survived the Zombie Apocalypse, where players will have to use their wits and survival instincts to survive a shopping mall filled with the walking
dead. Yes! I so want to see this! I love this!
It's going to be on BBC Three. Uh-huh. And hopefully before it converts to all broadband, all online.
You know,
stuff.
Let me just tell you something. This is so silly. I loved it. I love it. I love it. This is great. There was a show. Oh, what was the name of the show? Gordon, you would know this. It was on the British television last year where these three people had to survive out in a forest.
There's been a couple that have been on that theme. You had the Insipid Love in the Wild, which I'm pretty sure is not.
No. This was a British show. Where it was a British, it was a horror survival show. But, mm-hmm. All right, I will find it, but I saw it last year. It reminds me of something like this. But,
okay.
But yeah, you know what? I love this. Good stuff. Good.
Yeah, it's like, think of it as Naked and Afraid, only everybody is fully clothed and indoors.
Naked, afraid, and full of lust.
You!
Yeah, man. Quick item before the media hose, which ties into the media hose, believe it or not, because Big Brother creates media hose.
Oh, God, are we back? Or Big Racist, let's go with that.
How about racists and HD?
I'm sorry, Gordon?
Sorry?
They call a spade a spade, so to speak,
indeed. So what?
Racists and HD, how about that?
Oh, finally? Okay.
Yeah, finally. And Let's Make a Deal also going to be in HD.
I can't wait to see that. It's about time.
So you're basically looking at CBS's entire schedule in HD. Only CBS. So you're going to see the house guests, warts and all.
You?
Literally.
You? Oh, boy.
I hope you don't have any C-section scars there, buddy.
In this week's Media Ho Report, Jaffra from Survivor gets married. Tori and Dean will get married. Spidey will be doing celebrity wife swap.
Die already!
Yeah, okay.
Adam Richman gets nailed for Cosmo.
He got naked, not nailed.
He got naked and nailed.
Because he lost, 80 pounds. He looks really...
He lost 60 pounds. He looks really good.
He does. Rachel Riley will tip the World Cup to Chile.
Which begins tomorrow, by the way.
What?
World Cup begins tomorrow.
Yes. And Andy thinks that she has the one, so to speak.
Yeah, let me know how that works out for you.
I will, but none of them are the hole of the week.
Who have you got?
Well, actually, I have two things. I have Breakskate and the Academy of Villains.
I need that big, big, jolly red button again.
Here it is.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, Chico set up the button.
Yeah, Breakskate was on America's Got Talent.
Correct.
And Academy of Villains was on America's Got Talent. Breakskate was on America's Best Dance Crew.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? They gotta keep going somewhere, you know?
Well, look at it this way. We haven't seen the jump rope dance crew yet.
They'll be there.
they certainly will. I mean, let's put it this way. We saw this season's Aquadunk late last week also. Those are your hoes.
And that's Brain Vision. Jason, I think you know where the off switch is.
Beep, beep. There you go. But we are... Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I have cleaned the super toilet. I have cleaned the super toilet. You know what that means?
Good for you! We're gonna have to buck it up now, aren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, because it's round two of...
Push or Flush. And it's right after this.
This break has been sponsored by... Are you smarter than a UNC basketball player? You can challenge a UNC player in the following subject. Oh, wait. The subjects don't exist? Oh, wait. The players never took those courses? Well, they said they did. Didn't they get on the honor roll? Oh, they didn't? What? Really? Okay, never mind.
Oh,
dear Rashad McCants. You were a punk 10 years ago. You were a punk when you hooked up with Khloe Kardashian. And you're a punk now.
Oh, well, okay. I remember...
You either lying when you said you appreciated the work, or you're lying now, so don't come at me with this truth garbage. Because either way, you're a liar.
Hey, Gordon, I got a question for you.
Yeah?
Do you remember when Jose Canseco was vilified for all those steroid accusations?
Why, yes.
And
yes,
you know who was proven right on pretty much every one of them?
Would that be Jose
That
Canseco?
Is absolutely correct. So, hey, Rashad, keep talking.
No.
Keep talking.
No.
This may get worse for Chico. Oh, wait. Newsflash.
Yes?
I have another new TV show coming this
What's
way.
What's that?
It's called North Carolina Shop Till You Drop.
Oh,
North
no.
Carolina prospective athletes go into malls where the police are going to find them and maybe arrest them.
No, it was a football player, and we've already established that was incredibly stupid.
I sense a theme here, Gordon, don't you?
All right, for those of you who have not paid any attention... Gordon's a dookie.
No, Gordon is just an anti-UNC guy. There's a difference.
No, he is a dookie.
Yay, the first person
he ever met when he was working at CBS was Coach K.
Is that true?
Gave him a tie, has owed him his loyalty ever since.
Wow.
That's right.
Truth story. Wow. But...
Speaking of things full of, it's time for Push or Flush.
Okay, how many shows we got?
I believe we got 8 or 9 here. I've got the list right here. If you guys have got the review, the instant review, remember, Push, it's going to be a success. You're going to watch it. You're going to watch the success. Pastry Push, well, maybe. I'm going to watch it. I don't know if it's going to be a success, but I'm going to watch it. Jiggle, fair to middling at best. And Flush speaks for itself.
So we're
going to start with Copycat on MTV. The fact that it's a double bill in the middle of the afternoon is telling.
I've already said F you to this show is also telling.
Yeah, but... and they said, put it to you this way. This is seriously my contender for worst show of the year. It's that bad. Here we go. 1, 2, 3 Sound effect! Oh my
goodness gracious.
Wait a minute, what is that scent?
Korean melon.
Mmm, tasty.
And Korean melon is very good, and it's good for
you. Okay.
It is. Next is Webheads on Nickelodeon. It's a kids show. It plays to the kids. Gotta play to the kids. It's funny. I'm going to push it.
Oh, no. I'm not giving a show that I just rated a C plus a push. I think that it can work in slow limited doses. I think, though, that if people start to get tired of it, and I think that's going to come sooner rather than later, that's going to be a problem for Nickelodeon, so I'm jiggling.
Yeah, I'm going to jiggle this one, too. This could have been so much better. It really could have. But they're going for the really lowest common denominator with videos that should not be on this show, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And, right. And, you know, it's not age appropriate for the show. I mean, you know, Nickelodeon is, you know, between, I would say, 8 to 12. You don't need to see many crotch shots. Sorry. Jiggle.
Okay. Next up. Oh, Jesus.
Yes.
Exactly. It takes a church, GSM.
No, it does not.
This is the very definition of a Faustian bargain. Y'all know what a Faustian
You're
bargain is.
You're selling your soul to the devil, for those who don't know. So,
yeah.
What do you got?
I've got a plunger and a bottle of Drano. Flush it.
Look, I know what they were trying to do. The execution is just terrible. It's an infomercial for that site. Flush. It's not a game.
It's not a game and it's not a comedy. It's more like a tragedy in action. Flush away.
One!
Two!
Three!
Flush them! Boy, this toilet's gonna get a workout.
Oh, yeah. It's that Korean melon.
Yeah, exactly.
At least there's that to it. There's a palate cleanser aspect. Next is... I'm gonna need a palate cleanser after this. Funniest Wins on TBS. It's launching June 20th. It's a good summer to be a Wayne's Brother. Not so much a good summer to be a Wayne's Brother fan. It was pushed back twice, and I can't push it just for that on principle. I have to jiggle it. It's basically, can you top this in the here and now?
I don't like the fact that TBS is relying on all these comedy shows, and they're not very good. It's a jiggle for me as well.
Let's see, what do I want? You know what, I'll pastry it.
You're going to pastry it?
I'll pastry it.
Okay. Well, it's your toilet, it's your call.
Mm-hmm. next one?
Next one is a show that was also pushed back. Spike's Frankenfood, hosted by Chef Josh Capon. It's alive! Hello! Oh, wait, no, it isn't.
I like the idea. I mean, I saw the previews for this. This looks weird enough, but again, I don't care to watch it. I don't think it's going to do very well. Pastry. Jiggle.
You know what? I'm not a big fan of this. I'm not really too, shall we say, into the concept of this. So I'm gonna jiggle. I'm not gonna flush it, but I will jiggle it though.
Yeah, you don't want to flush it after eating a cronut and a corn dog and lobster mac and cheese. Because...
Well, lobster mac and cheese is good. Give me a cronut lobster mac and cheese. Yuck. Okay.
Yeah. With a side of corn dogs.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different elements. I'm not sure if it's gonna necessarily work here, but it'll be interesting to find out if it does.
Yeah, we'll review it when it premieres. Next up, Wipeout.
This show is still on the air.
This show is still on the air, and now it's on Sundays, along with ABC's other family-friendly whimsical.
We're gonna get to that in a minute. I actually think that Wipeout is actually just, you know, past its prime. I really do, and I'm just gonna, you know, I know the show is good. I know the show for what it does. I'll pastry it. It's past its prime, but I'll pastry it.
I'm sorry, you go first.
You know what? ABC's known for putting stuff on Sundays that involves falling and pratfalls and family entertainment. In that case, Wipeout's a good fit. Especially out of America's Funniest Videos reruns. So I'm going to push it.
You know, the nice thing about America's Funniest Home Video reruns is that just like Wipeout, they're both very, very cheap shows. And because they're very cheap shows to produce, it doesn't take that much to get them on the air. And it also doesn't take that much in terms of ratings to have them keep around. It's one of my guilty pleasures. I enjoy watching this show. And because it's that cheap to produce, I can easily see this lasting for a long while to come, as long as the ratings warrant it. Push.
Okay. Next up, it's the talent show you control instantly. It's Rising Star. Hey, Gordon!
Yes, Chico?
How did the one do?
It was awesome! If you like picking up records for futility.
How did Sing Your Face Off do?
My brains are still leaking out of my head from watching that show.
How did Duets do?
Well, it finished its season, so that has to count for something, right?
How's this gonna do?
Bad. bad. Again, because the singing competitions are in the summer, only This in America's Got Talent are really there, so I think it could work. I don't think it will. So I'll give it a juggle. I mean, a jiggle.
Jiggle the handle. Meh. Still thinking about it.
Here's what I don't... This, I believe, was based on the Israeli concept. We talked about this late last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, we did.
This is
yes.
The one where the ratings for the person will actually... This is live time. Where...
Real time. Yes.
This is one of those things where I don't know if the gimmick is going to work or not, because here's the thing. You look at all these people who are computer geeks. You might get people who are in voting rooms, things like that. I think there might be a little bit of a problem with this. I'm going to jiggle this as well. I don't feel very good about this.
All right. You guys are being way too kind. I know we're not supposed to say past. Remember, the past is in the past. And not judge it on the past, but ABC has a very checkered past when it comes to talent show. They're going to find a way to screw this up. I have zero confidence in the concept, and you cannot do live voting when they plan on doing it, so I'm going to flush it. Okay, next up, Motor City Masters. Brooke Burns takes time off to play Project Runway with car designers instead of fashion designers, like Top Gear before it. It's a show about cars.
Yay,
unlike Top
cars.
Gear before it, I can't see this show having a following. I'm gonna jiggle.
Oh, you are so wrong on this one. This is the one I'm really looking forward to this summer. Okay? I think that this hasn't been tried yet. I mean, yes, the format has been tried, but the canvas hasn't. I'm looking forward to this one. I'm going to push this.
The one thing that interests me is the fact that I actually think True TV is the perfect place for this show, because I think it's going to get a very, very long lifespan here, and certainly good enough if it falters on their face to make adjustments. I don't think it's going to fall on its face, and I think it's going to be real interesting to watch. So I'll pace for it.
Alrighty. And finally, I hope you've got your industrial strength scrubbers out, ladies and gentlemen. June 25th sees the return of Big Brother! It's the same show you've been watching for the past 15 years, except that it's in HD now!
Well, in that case, I have to go watch more of it because it's in HD.
Well, here's the thing. We had one of the worst moral... Here's the dichotomy, and Gordon, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about here, okay? We had an absolute moral dichotomy of the inside versus the outside. In other words, the insides were a bunch of racists, homophobes, bullies, right? But the ratings went through the roof. Expect more of this, and people are going to watch. Push this.
Okay. I'm going to push this, and here's a lengthy and accurate reason why. Basically, because Jason Block stole my thunder. That's the exact thing I had written
here.
America loves a train wreck. And the earlier the train wreck, the bigger the snowball. and because we're hardwired to be complete and utter Schadenfreude absorbing a-holes.
Gordon?
So I'm going to push it as well.
It's Big Brother. It's the series of fun that we always know and that we always make fun of after we catch someone going nuts. It's fun. It's always what it is. So, yep, got to push it here also.
Okay, and because we're going to be covering all of Big Brother this year, we will, of course, have the return of the WLTI Live Losers Lounge
Couch. Yeah! Awesome! Great!
Where you will enjoy comfortable seating, remote control freedom, fresh batteries, cup holders, drinks, foods, but you gotta remember the number one rule of the WLTI Live Losers Lounge Couch. You can fight over the remote, you can sleep on it, you can do whatever you want on it, but you do not, you never, ever, ever hog the Krispy Kremes Izay soda.
I love my Izay. The pink grapefruit Izay. That was some good stuff. I remember we were taking cases of that stuff to our room.
Okay, well, we're gonna take cases of our stuff and drink the night away. But first, it's time for a break. This break has been brought to you by Flopout. Athletes compete to see who can make it look like they've been hit by a Mack truck on the basketball court. Dwayne Wade and LeBron James co-host. Winner gets $50,000. Oh, sorry. Winner has to pay $50,000 for two shots.
Excuse me. Go Spurs, go. Go Spurs.
Spurs, go. Go Spurs,
it's
go.
It's too hot. Oh my God, I'm sweating. I'm schwitzing. God.
That somewhere there's a firefighter that's saying, yeah, that's really cute, kid.
Oh boy.
Okay. Alright, so we run the gamut of emotions and I'm almost out of them. So Gordon, do you have a remedy for this?
Do I may have a little speed round, will that help?
That will help. Speed round starts now. Jeopardy, stability of wheel of rotating contestants?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, look, you had the 20-game winner. I don't think we're going to have any more big runs because we got about a month left?
We got about a month left before the NXT tournament, which will round out the season.
Yep.
Speaking of which, Wheel of Fortune, one more biggie for the road this week.
Probably not. I mean, I don't know if we'll break 10 million, but it's going to get close.
I don't think so in that or Jeopardy, just because if it happened, we would have gotten a press release and or they would have had some big announcement over it. So no, I don't think so in either one, but it'll be fun to watch anyway.
Okay, how about The Price is Right?
Maybe.
Okay. Who you got in the Stanley Cup?
Kings, I hate you.
Well, hey,
rebuttal from the Rangers fan.
Well, you know what? When you
reality show sucks. My name is Jason Block, and reality show sucks.
I'm still going with the Rangers, even though the Kings are 3-1. I've got a 3-1 lead, but hey, what are we gonna do?
Yeah.
You're going to lose. That's what you're going to do.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, do we have any mail?
I do not, but I hear that we may have a tweet.
Yeah, actually, it's a post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WLTI.GSNN. Thanks for asking, by the way. It's from Stephen Buse. Listened to the Emmy nomination podcast today. Thanks for that. And it got me thinking. How come there's no supporting performer category for game shows? Vanna, Janice, Kathleen, Tiffany, Summer, Johnny, Jean, Ron, Jonathan, et al. Had never had a chance to win an Emmy.
I mean, that is interesting, but it's tough, but I don't think, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either. I think the Academy is bigger fish to fry, so we may never know. Gordon, what do you think?
What I think in terms of that, you know, it's interesting because one of the things that is so hard in terms of the Academy and in terms of anything else is the description or the definition of the labels is what is considered a sidekick, what isn't. I think you have too many parameters right now, really, to be able to do something like that. However, I do think later on down the road, when they figure out their parameters, I think that's doable. But
okay. All right. So, I hope that answers your question. If you have one just like it, you can post on our Facebook wall. Again, that's facebook.com/WLTI.GSNN. Or you can follow us on the tweets at WLTI on GSNN.
Or you could tweet us directly at, for myself, it's Beat the Block.
And for myself, it's Dino R. Alexander. And for Gordon, it's GSNN Haterade.
Whee!
Okay, so I guess what's left is for plug-ins.
Right.
Gordon, you already had yours at the top of the show, so, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, of course, you could hear all, our voices on player.fm, stitcher.com, Stitcher Radio, and, of course, TuneIn Radio. Get them at the Google Play Store or the iTunes Store for most things. Player.fm, I believe, is Android only. We're going to have a new episode of Touch 'Em All very soon. We're going to have a Pixel Nation E3 wrap-up. This week, we're going to do a North American Wrestling Connection, talking about the fact that Daniel Bryan has been stripped of the title. And
Yes.
He's been stripped due to medical reasons, and we have four contenders so far in, but are they the person to carry the title? We shall see.
No.
I believe we're going to talk about Red State, Blue State, and we're going to talk about Eric Cantor, the House Majority Leader, believe it or not. Not anymore.
He
gone, or in the words of our good friend Keith Olbermann, bye, Felicia. I mean, seriously, gone. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Hillary and her book tour, talking about being in debt when she had like $15 million in the bank.
This is how you make $15 million and be
broke. Yeah, exactly. Tell that to any movie producer at the end of the year with the cuts. But we're going to talk about all that stuff. New BS Big Show in a couple weeks. Bunch of other stuff here on CLW 83. So, Chico Gordon, take us home.
Well, before we do, I just have one more thing to do, and I'm going to make this really quick. But a friend of the site, who has helped me on many shows involving Gordon Ramsay, her name is Dana. We used to work together in hospital. Her mother died this week.
Aww.
And we just want to say, on behalf of everyone here, our thoughts and prayers are with you, Dana.
Stay strong.
Yeah, thank you. Next week, we're going to go over Wheel, we're going to go over Jeopardy, and from what I hear, we have a person who might be a tournament contender, despite not having correctly responded to a final Jeopardy once.
That's possible, but we're going to talk about...
So for Gordon, for Jason... For Carl, who can't be with us tonight. For everybody at CLW83, everybody at GSNN, I'm Chico Alexander. Our time's up. We thank you for yours. Game over, and spread the love.
Good night.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.